able to live my life the way I thought I would live it, but I can look back now and say, won't he do it? Anybody know he will? Tell somebody he'll do it just like he did it for him. He'll do it for me. If he did it for David, he'll do it for me. If he did it for Job, he'll do it for me. Do I have anybody that say, I'm just waiting? Because there's a benefit of holding my horses, hold my mule. I'm just going to wait and stand here and praise him. I'm just going to wait and stand here and lift him up. I'm just going to wait. Maybe you're tired of hearing this message, but I admonish you to wait. Come on, tell somebody. I know you're ready to go home. I know football's coming on. The chicken place is going to be full. But before we go, would you help me close the message the same way I do every Sunday? Tell your neighbor. Look them dead in the eye. Rock them a little bit. They ain't moved a little bit. Not the whole service. Come on, like we do the fence post. Rock them like you're getting them out the mire. Because you about to lift them up. I'm about to lift you up out of your mess. I'm going to rock you till you stop your mess. I'm going to rock you till you come out of your trouble. I'm going to rock you till you get out of this depression. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them and look them in the eye and say, neighbor, say, oh, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I
give me my word and wait to God.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and I want to look at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For the word says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and to the hearers of his holy word. But just a little while, I'm going to speak from the subject. Christmas just isn't Christmas without Christ. Christmas, tell your neighbor if you don't mind, Christmas just isn't Christmas without Christ. Now, of course, you know it is a paraphrase from the secular song that says, Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love. And I want to say just from the onset that Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one who loved you best. And certainly the Bible is quite clear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So it is because of the one who loved us best that we've got this opportunity to celebrate Christmas. In the midst of this Old Testament verse is a word about Christmas. And it teaches us three things. First of all, it teaches us about the wonderful proclamation. The wonderful proclamation. And then this verse teaches us also about the wonderful possession. The wonderful possession. And then thirdly, this verse teaches us about the wonderful person. And I want us to look at this, and as we look at it, let's begin at the beginning at this wonderful proclamation. For it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Unto us, historically, us refers to both houses of Israel. It speaks for us to understand not just to the house of Judah, but to both of them, and it refers to us pragmatically today, the believers who look and understand that the gift we have through Jesus Christ is given by God for our blessed benefit. Now, there's some things I want to share with you right quick, because when we look at this proclamation and how wonderful it is, there are three things that, again, is taught in this. There is the doctrine of the proclamation. It says, you know, we have this child, this baby, this is born. When a baby is born, the announcement is a delight to the parents. When Christ was born, that was a joy for the world. The angel said, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. But there's something else that I want you to understand, that there is also the dominion. But look at this. If there is the delight in the proclamation, when it talks about the baby, and when there is the dominion of the proclamation or in the proclamation, it makes clear that the government shall be upon his shoulder, which means Christ will one day authoritatively rule and have the responsibility of ruling with judgment and justice. Bringing peace to the world is his responsibility. And so when we understand how this judgment that Jesus brings, this justice that Jesus brings, will ultimately end all wars because he is the Prince of Peace. There are some things that we must understand about why this word is so important, not only historically to Israel, but to every believer today. Again, if you look and you see that all that God offers to those who were chosen originally and they reject it, is now made available to whosoever will. That brings us into this opportunistic time of accepting and receiving the greatest gift that God himself could ever or would ever give to the world who has sinned, fallen short, and turned their backs on him. I want you to look at this, my brothers and sisters. First of all, when you look at this word and understand again how the Lord God works this out, let's look at the wonderful possession. Us, unto us, is given. Well, the emphasis is given to us, again, pragmatically and historically to Israel. There is an unmentioned period needed to fulfill the prophecies and to have them manifested called grace. Grace. It's not mentioned by the prophets, but it's understood through the word that the only way that many of the prophecies that the prophets gave would only come to fruition after this thing called grace was introduced. Now, unto us is given a son. Well, this son is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God the Father. It suggests here something so important and powerful for us to understand, that he already existed with God, and given here is translated as grace. So when you think about grace, you can say Jesus or Jesus grace or given grace, which is Jesus Christ. Unto us is given a son. That son who laid down his life and said, no man taketh my life, but I lay my life down. And if I lay it down, I can take it back up again. Let's look on, if you will, my brothers and sisters, at this wonderful person. Because if we miss it all about the person, all of this has been in vain. First of all, wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. There are some who suggest that there are four instead of five names that wonderful counselor is joined together. And though he is a wonderful counselor, you can say wonderful before each one of them. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful mighty God. He's a wonderful everlasting Father. He's a wonderful Prince of Peace. He's just wonderful. But listen to this, let's break it down, and hopefully as we get a better understanding of each word and each title, it'll better help us understand the gift that we have. Have you ever gotten a gift and didn't realize how valuable it was until later? You may have opened it up and you didn't really appreciate the fullness of its worth and value at that time because you didn't really understand all that the gift was worth. And because you didn't understand all that the gift was worth, you really didn't appreciate it the way that you should have appreciated. As a matter of fact, God gave us his son and then he gave us his word. And I've got news for you. If you utilize both of them, there is no way you cannot live in this life successfully, authoritatively, and wonderfully victorious in this life and yet the life to come. His son gives us access to the word, but it also gives us authority in the word. So when you begin to understand the power of the gift of Jesus Christ himself and the word that he represents, my God, you can go into this word and access the power of God and recognize that what he's given to you, it is so that you can mount up above every struggle, every trial, every tribulation, every temptation, everything that would tend to bind you and bother you. Because as Jesus is victorious, so are the believers who operate in this word. Wonderful, awesome, wondrous, miraculous, astounding, amazing, listen, phenomenal, unique, curious, strange,
wonderful. When you look at this and you look at Jesus, that and a whole lot more applies to him. It's important because there is none like him. Matter of fact, if you just want to really be technical, you can call him Mr. Wonderful. When you really realize how awesome he is, and none can compare with him. Every person in the Bible before him, everyone who follows after him, all point back to him because he is that wonderful. And you look at two, counselor. A person who counsels, advises, advocates, guides, teaches. He has all the answers. He knows everything about anything. And he knows what we could, would, or will experience in this life, and knew it before it happened, and therefore needed not to get in a hurry because he was there all the time. A counselor who knows it from the human perspective as well as from the deity's perspective. One who knows how to counsel us, not as with judgment, but with love and compassion. One who understands our flaws, our faults, our mess-ups, our mistakes, and yet loves us enough to counsel us to get back on the right track and receive the fullness of what God offers. He counsels us so that we could get the best out of life, and not just to talk about us or to bring us down or to talk about what we've done wrong or to make us feel worse than we already feel. A counselor who says, listen, what you're doing is not of God. Let me show you the way of God. This too shall pass. This life will come to an end. What will you do when you've done what you wanted to do and not what God wanted to do? Where will you spend eternity? And he counsels you with everything. If there's a business decision and you call on him, he'll tell you. How many of us have lost money in bad business decisions? Well, may I suggest to you, one of the reasons we may have done that is because we didn't ask him, should we even enter into it? And if we did, how to walk in that, how to deal in that, how to position ourselves. He's a counselor about everything. How many of us have found our situations in dire straits because we waited to get his counsel after we made our decision? You know, many of us, I submit to you, don't want to ask for his counsel before, because we want to do what we want to do. And his counsel, we already know, is not going to be different from his word. So if his word says it, I can guarantee you that his counsel will amen it. And so some of us don't want to ask the Lord, Lord, is this the way? When the Lord will say, no, this is not the way. Turn around. I permit U-turns. Go the different way. Go the right way. And so we don't want to ask him because we don't want to do it God's way. But listen, even after we do it our own way and we mess up and we fall short, when we counsel with him, he knows how to brush the tears from our eyes. He knows how to pick us up and hold us in his arms and rock us when we're weary and tell us everything will be all right if we follow him. Well, look at this. I want you to see something else. Mighty God, mighty. Having characterized by or showing superior power or strength of great size, great in amount, in extent, in degree, or importance. Listen, exceptionally God, supreme being. As a mighty God, there is none other who can compare to it. And the believer has got to understand, as the mighty God, notice that mighty is so important because there are some little gods, but he is the mighty God. All little gods bow to the mighty. All other gods are permitted to exist because of the mighty God. And Jesus is that mighty God. Look again. Everlasting Father. Everlasting. Eternal. Lasting. Endless. Forever. Everlasting Father. Listen at this. Because one of the things I want you to see, as it denotes a parent, to be the creator, the founder, or author, or the original. Jesus Christ is that everlasting Father. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 1:1-11 says. Why is that important for us to know as well? Because when you begin to realize all that's wrapped up in Jesus, my brother, my sister, you've got something in Jesus. Everything you could ever need, want, or desire is in Jesus. Listen. Prince of Peace, Sovereign King, Ruler, Royalty. Listen, Prince, the word peace, untroubled, tranquil, content, calm. Prince of Peace. He ain't worried about nobody starting no war with him. That's why he's tranquil. That's why he's unnerved. That's why he's calm and content. Because if he's got all power in his hand, then what is he worrying about the power in anybody else's hand? Listen at this, the Prince of Peace. Why is this so important for the believer? Only through Christ can we have peace that passeth all understanding. Philippians 4:13. He is all that and more than we could ever think or ask for. God's greatest example of his love, grace, mercy, faithfulness, excellence, and almighty power is in his gift to mankind called Jesus Christ. He is truly the gift that keeps on giving. And so when you really begin to wrap your mind around the real reason for the season and realize who Jesus really is, not was, but is today, tomorrow, and forever, when you come into a personal and intimate knowledge, you can see only then that he is the best thing that's ever happened to you. I said he is the best thing that ever happened to you. And so, my brothers and sisters, there's a little poem that I'd like to share with you that says, Christmas without Jesus. Christmas without Jesus and all that the Savior hath wrought. Can you begin to comprehend why I just cannot bear the thought? Christmas without Jesus means more than an empty manger or a wasted trip for the wise men on a road of untold danger. Christmas without Jesus means more than a tree with no gifts, more than no holiday fixings or no extra overtime shifts. Christmas without Jesus, what does it all really mean? What impact does it have for me, my life, my hopes, and my dreams? Christmas without Jesus means my sin debt by me still is born. It still has never been paid for his body had never been torn. Christmas without Jesus means heaven cannot be attained. We've all sinned. There's no remedy. Our good works are useless and vain. Christmas without Jesus means an eternity of pain. No hope for all mankind was brought. Without Christ's loss, we have no gain. Christmas without Jesus, oh no, it simply cannot be. But praise the Lord, I know it's not. He came to die for you and me. Christmas with Jesus, my Savior alive forevermore. He arose victorious from the grave, and he has opened heaven's door. Christmas without Jesus, a fairy tale, an empty show. For Christ came to pay for our sin. It's real. I want the whole world to know. No wonder I understand, my brothers and sisters, as I was preparing this message and wondering how Christmas could be Christmas without Christ. The Mass we celebrate is because of Christ. There would be no Mass, no celebration without the purpose and the meaning for the Mass, and that's Jesus. No wonder I understand the lyrics of the secular writers who have all these issues going on underneath the skin, especially at Christmas. Listen at the words, if you will. I don't mean to bother you, but I want you to understand why they've got problems. Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love. New Year's just ain't New Year's without the one you love. Underneath the mistletoe, I saw a face all aglow last year this time. Now I'm staying home alone, and my house is not a home without that girl of mine. Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love, and New Year's just ain't New Year's without the one. 12 o'clock and all is well, and I was doing oh so well last year this time. Going shopping with friends together, making vows to leave each other, never. It was a waste of time. Christmas just ain't Christmas without the one you love. And then he goes on and he repeats it, and then he repeats it again. But let me share with you his problem. He ain't got Christ nowhere in him. And no matter how who you are, my brother, my sister, if you try to celebrate great Christmas and don't have Jesus, can I tell you, you'll never have a celebration going on underneath the skin or underneath the tree. Lest I be too holy, let me just share another song y'all like to hear. What do the lonely do? At Christmas, 'tis the season to be jolly, but how can I be when I have nobody? The Yuletide carol doesn't make it better, knowing that we won't be together. A silent night, I know it's gonna be. Joy to the world, but it's gonna be sad for me. What do the lonely do at Christmas? I can tell you, leave Christ out. Oh, what do the lonely do at Christmas? What do the lonely do? The children can play with their new toys while their little hearts burst open with joy, and lovers can kiss beneath the mistletoe. The choir can sing those glorious songs of old. But what is left? Oh, for me to do now that it's Christmas? I don't have you. What do the lonely do at Christmas? The bigger and more important question is, what should the lonely do at Christmas.
The teaching ministry.